Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Welcome back! It's time for another episode of the podcast, and today we are going to be talking about podcast marketing for beginners. Sounds pretty rudimentary, but frankly, if you're a new podcaster, you may not even realize that there is so much more to a podcast than just slapping some audio onto iTunes and expecting to see lots and lots of listeners. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman. And today we're talking about podcast marketing. It's a topic that is near and dear to us, not just because we have a podcast or even because we have a podcast about marketing.
So true. The reality of creating and maintaining a podcast is not all glamour and glitz, and the vast majority of podcasts are abandoned relatively early on, unfortunately. This happens for a couple of reasons, so we're going to talk about that first, and then we'll move into the basics of getting your podcast in front of your audience and how you can improve your odds of gaining listeners, subscribers, and increasing your downloads.
It's definitely not that complicated, but it requires a few things, including a good basic strategy and the means to reach out and engage people so they will want to keep listening to your episodes.
Yep, we're not going to touch on the mechanics of creating a podcast. There are a million sites and guides and downloads and so on that will tell you what equipment to use, how to edit, suggested links, where to host your podcast. Right. We're going to assume that you have that part covered. And you are just looking to increase your audience.
We've done a few podcast marketing related episodes in the past, and we'll rehash some of that material, but not all of it. So you might want to check out the archives at dominoresearch.com after this episode and pay particular attention to a couple of older shows. Episode 27 comes to mind, How Much Does It Cost to Market Your Podcast? That is actually quite popular. And it breaks down the basic costs to get traffic and what you can expect to spend and to convert that traffic into regular listeners.
I really like episode 22, Biggest Mistakes When Starting a Podcast. Especially if you are still really new to running a podcast, there are some pitfalls that you're going to want to avoid, or else you will be playing catch up for some time to come. And given the massive number of podcasts available, it's very important to skip as many mistakes as you can, or else you'll likely end up dejected and decide that it's not even worth the effort.
We also should take a moment and touch on the reason you have created or are going to create a podcast. There are a few different reasons, and these will lead you down different paths as far as the marketing is going to go. First, are you creating an entertainment type of podcast, something that could be an ad revenue based, or are you just making a podcast for your own personal enjoyment and you're not worried about monetizing it? Is the podcast designed like this one to be a tool that helps you advertise, market, or support a product or service that you offer?
So, you know, these are all very important questions. And they will determine the number of listeners that you are going to need to make it worth your time and effort. A podcast, it's a commitment, don't you think, Hazel?
Oh, absolutely it is.
It's a commitment like a blog, but even more so. People who haven't been in the podcasting space, they may believe that anyone could do it. And they may also believe that everyone should do it.
They might. Yeah, you're right.
No, stop. Seriously. Yesterday morning, before I left to pop up to your neck of the woods, My significant other came strolling into the kitchen and told me that his friend suggested that he should start a podcast.
Oh, wow. And?
How great he would be at it. Stop. No, it's not that he wouldn't be good at it. It's simply,
You know what? I did not want to be a wet blanket, but my first question to my SR was, who's going to listen to it? So I probably did come across as a wet blanket, even though I didn't mean to do it that way.
Right, right. But it's true. Anyone can start a podcast. It's just not that everyone can keep one going for long and get listeners. Heck, we still have days where I look at the stats and think to myself, what the hell? That was a great episode. I wonder why more people aren't checking it out.
Oh, stop. We have at least one episode, maybe more, about stats and how they are so inaccurate.
Right.
Completely misleading and sometimes just completely unreliable.
Yeah, I think I know what that you're talking about. It's episode 33, Biggest Mistakes in Reading Podcast Stats, which is, by any count, a very popular episode, and that makes me giggle.
Cha-ching! So, let's take a quick couple of minutes here before we start laying out the framework for the marketing of a new podcast, or perhaps you're remarketing an old podcast, to get everyone on the same page with our technology. And we will specifically be talking about our technology, which is mobile ad campaigns. I'm going to hand it over to you for a few minutes to let you do the quick rundown on how it works, since I do know there are plenty of listeners who are either first-timers or maybe don't pay attention or maybe don't care or maybe didn't figure this out earlier. So let's talk about the finer points of the platform. Go, Hayes.
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is a native iOS application, and Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on, those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification and they have the ability to tap the backlinks and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
And yet sums it all up.
Yeah, we're glad you like it. All right, so let's move on to a couple of simple statistics. One, there are a ton of podcasts. We're pulling recent data from Podcast Insights. That's podcastinsights.com. Don't worry if you didn't catch the URL. I'll just say it again here. Podcastinsights.com, and the specific page is /podcast-statistics. So anyway, in that URL, in the show notes on the episode page, it's on dominoresearch.com. Just tap the top tab, Mobile Marketing Podcasts, and you can find the episode very easily. So as of January 2019, the most accurate guess is 630,000. Yes, you heard that right, 630,000. Probably around 500,000 of those are what we call active, meaning they've been updated in at least once in the past 6 months.
Yep, a lot of podcasts. And, you know, that's actually only on iTunes. We're not even looking at Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Google, Libsyn, the rest of them.
Right.
Most podcasts are duplicated outside of iTunes, but, you know, there are some that don't distribute through Apple and only use alternative channels. And before I turn this back over to you, because I know you have something to say.
Sure.
It's a whole lot different now than it was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, you had to be on Apple. You had to be on iTunes.
You had to, yeah.
I think maybe that's not so much the case anymore, but we're going to leave that for a whole other episode. So go on, get us back on track.
Yeah, no problem. So that brings us to point number one. You cannot rely on iTunes alone to distribute your episodes. Unless you are a part of PRI or NPR or WBUR, etc., you will not be able to gain enough listeners to make it worth your time. If you are trying to generate ad revenue or monetize your shows, unless you have a big ad budget or you are duplicating something like a live radio show, even with a live radio show, these folks are pushing episodes on their radio station apps, like iHeart radio spots and so on.
So let's make sure that we are clear on this point.
Sure.
You must have multiple distribution channels across as many media outlets as you can, even if you only have a handful of listeners reporting in from all the auxiliary outlets.
Right.
Which is likely the reverse of what you think will happen. You know, you'll actually truly have less iTunes participation and more listeners from alternative channels without a big marketing budget.
Right, but that brings us to fact two. Number two, comedy is the most popular podcast genre, followed by education and then news. Unless you are super funny.
Like you? Or me?
Yeah. Like us. And come across that way on recordings, then don't go there. Maybe you are the next Mrs. Maisel, but it's probably not going to happen if you were that funny already. You'd be on someone else's podcast and have a show on HBO like Two Dope Queens, which I love, by the way.
Charles, have you seen the HBO, the new ones? They are out now. So, anyway, I know, it's so crazy. You got to be funny, much funnier than we are. So, the education or the news component is most likely your best bet for how to pitch your podcast to prospective listeners. If you know how to do something that no one else knows how to do, or you could explain things in a way that people understand without the need of a video to get it, then the education genre is a really good bet for you. Take this podcast, for instance. We are all about educating you on how to market your podcast. or how to market anything else using mobile at the end of the day.
Yeah, news is a tough topic unless you've got real insights or scoops or specific spin on a niche topic that attracts steady listeners. And you had better be able to talk about that news in a way that doesn't need visual aids, or else you're going to be better off doing a straight up YouTube channel and using the audio as a teaser to get people to your YouTube channel to watch the videos.
Right. So point number two is simple. Know what your show is going to be about and make sure you can execute the plan without visual aids. It's super hard to get people to listen to your podcast and then go to your website to check out your website or go to your YouTube channel and check out a video or some combination. I mean, if the words don't make sense without the visuals, you're screwed.
Right. Which brings us to fact
number three.
Podcast listeners are also very much into social media, smart homes, and all kinds of technology.
True that.
They're a well-educated lot by nature, and they have higher incomes than the average household.
We love that.
Yeah. They're also likely to be cord cutters and listen to multiple shows regularly.
Great. So that brings us up to point number three.
Yes.
If you want to get more listeners, you need to talk to them and engage with them where they are. Podcasting is, by nature, a very compatible product with mobile. Even though the statistics show that people are starting to listen to podcasts more on a home computer than they did a couple of years ago. Crazy, to tell you the truth. But if I was guessing, I would say it's because they're spending more time watching streaming and videos on those same computers, as opposed to smart TVs, data theft and all that good stuff being a factor. It's just so much easier on the eyes to watch on your computer than it is to try to watch Game of Thrones on an iPhone. Let's be real.
Right, right. And that doesn't change.
Oh, wait, you're Canadian. How long does it take you to actually see Game of Thrones?
At the same time you do, you get HBO Canada.
Really? Because I thought you were using my password.
So, that's the facts. We'll see ya. No. So, that doesn't change the fact that most and the best engagement comes through on mobile. So, you can send out emails until you are blue in the face. And while that's good marketing channel, the amount of spam out there means that people still ignore it for the most part.
Right. And you know what? It's rather unlikely that you'll be sending out postcards in snail mail, putting links to your iTunes URL on billboards, or anything else that's so massively bad for ROI. So let's focus instead on how you can use mobile to get attention, and how you can craft a path for potential listeners that will take them to your episodes at the end of their journey.
Well, the vast majority of social media consumption and participation right now is on mobile, not home computers. And lock screen notifications are still by a large margin the way to get people's attention in a way that doesn't piss them off and causes them to take action you want them to use.
Oh, taking action, CTAs, this is the thing indeed. Let's do a quick rundown of the parts you want in a mobile campaign in order to reach your target demographic, get them to want mobile notifications from you, and then how you would go about using mobile notifications to convert these people into regular listeners.
So our platform certainly makes it easy, that's for sure. We've created mobile campaign for this podcast, and the most important thing that we do is include it everywhere. It's promoted on every piece of collateral that we have for dominoresearch.com website, all our social media, all our own web properties, everywhere that someone might see it. We include the short link, and in many cases, we include the QR code.
Here we go. So, it is very hard to scan a QR code when you are using the phone where it appears. And QR codes, really, they're designed to have a simple way to transition from print to mobile. Think about the airport and your boarding passes. Or from one device, perhaps a mobile, to a mobile. Again, think about the airport with your boarding passes on your phone. So, it can be done. But the reality is, the way that we see more activity on the URL links than we do with the QR codes means that it's not the way with mobile marketing. The exception is that at trade shows, where we have the QR code for the podcast campaign on our printed materials, And then we have to, lo and behold, walk people through the process for installing right there when we're busy on the show floor.
I know, I really hate the QR codes.
I don't hate them. You love them. Admit it.
I do.
It's wrong. It's just wrong. I think they're clunky and awkward for most situations. It's 10 times faster to just SMS somebody the URL for the podcast campaign, and then they just tap the link and boom, it's installed and it's working, as opposed to having to have them open Apple Wallet and go from there. Or if they're on Android, they have to install a QR code reader and they don't have one. You know what? Less steps to installation equals more listeners in my calculator.
Okay. All right. Now, but what about the share features on the passes? I know you hate that too, don't you?
Oh, I don't hate it. But the fact that both phones have to already be able to talk to each other and have the Bluetooth and the discovery settings correct. Again, why not just SMS or email the URL and turn it into a one-click solution? That's all I'm really saying.
Well, that much is true. There's nothing worse than trying to use the share and you can't make the connection with the other person, and then everyone gets frustrated.
So, I just made you admit that the QR code and the share are not as important as the short URL, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's my point exactly. So, back onto the topic. You create the campaign. You put the URL out there everywhere. You tell the person that you want to add to your campaign that they're going to tap on the URL and they'll be adding a subscription to your podcast into their Apple Wallet or some Android Wallet app. You have to make them understand what's going to happen next so they don't freak out and think that you're trying to steal their credit cards through Apple Pay or crazy shit like that, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know. I can't agree more with you on this one. When people are caught unaware of Apple Wallet opening up on their phone, their immediate unfortunate reaction is one of fear that you're somehow trying to invade their data. And that's so not what is going on.
Yep. So all you marketers talking about data points, understand that data is a bad word these days. Anyway, back on track. Yep. So once you get them to add your podcast subscription to their mobile wallet, then we're golden. 90% of those ads are never deleted. And they transfer from the old phone to the new phone and the next new phone and the next new phone through the magic of Apple and Google.
Yes, it is magic. Moving on, once they have subscribed, don't forget to use the lock screen notifications to tell them you've released a new episode. It doesn't do you any good at all to have the ability to notify, educate, engage in the palm of their hand, literally, and do nothing with it. It's literally the most important part of the process. Once they are subscribed, which is most important part of the process until they are subscribed, use the tool or wish you had.
I know. Every time we do a lock screen episode update, we automatically expect and see traffic to our podcast episode increase across all of the platforms that are linked from the back of our campaign pass.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful little bump in traffic to the episodes.
And we see engagement in social on the blog with our downloads and with customers deciding they want to ask a question or engage with us in some way to find out more. I mean, I love that. When an existing customer sends us a question,
woo-hoo!
Because they got a podcast update link and it triggered an idea,
woo-hoo!
And they remembered that they weren't sure how to do something, so they asked us straight away.
I know. I absolutely agree with you there. It is the best engagement tool. People look at their lock screens. We don't bombard them with useless information and spam. And they literally respond to our calls to action almost immediately. Yeah. It's so crazy good.
Yeah, no, I think it pretty much covers the basic marketing using mobile to start increasing your listener base. As we said earlier in the show, there are a few other episodes that you might want to check out in the archives at dominoresearch.com. You can find them in the mobile marketing podcast link on the top of the site or in the drop-down menu if you're on mobile. In the most simple way to engage, it's cost-effective, easy to set up, and the results are quite satisfying, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I know what you're saying. There's also a link to our podcast campaign on each of these pages. So all you have to do is like tap that link, add that subscription on your phone, and you can actually see how it works in real life. There's no more guessing, wondering. It's like we're using our actual product to promote our real podcast.
Woohoo! And with
stop stealing my line.
I love you. With that said, we are out of time for this episode, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with more new information, ideas, educational material, and news. No comedy or laughs, unless you just happen to find us comical.
Yeah, thanks for listening. You can direct questions to us using the form on the website, or you can email us at info@dominoresearch.com. We'll be happy to talk to you about podcasts, marketing, mobile, or almost any other topic if it's funny or if it helps. Thank you.